If you know we serve a risen Savior who is alive in the world today, why don't you give him your best praise in this place? You can't sing that song and not celebrate it. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Here, let me give you a heads up, an edited version of that. Because he lives, we can face right now. Because he lives, that's nothing we cannot face. There's no season, there's no place. Virgil, you know it because you and I were talking about that earlier this week, where God will not empower us through his Spirit to be able to make it through. Even when you don't know what to do. This is our last installment of that series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. I'll study through that rich, practical letter written out to the believers then and the believers now, that letter called Epistle of James. In fact, if you have your Bibles with you, why don't you turn there? Meet me there in the fifth chapter of James as we continue our study, our walk around the Word of God. I so enjoyed this series. It's amazing how timely God's Word continues to be. That he is calling us, the church as believers, to continue growing in him. Those of us who are here in person, those of us who are worshiping online, God is calling us, challenging us as believers to continue growing in him. Even when you're at that place in life where you don't know what to do. Lisa, the Word of God has an answer for us in the text. He tells us, he guides us through his Word. So right there, come with me in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. I'm practicing right now. I hope you see the first two words there. I'm really evaluating to see how much work I need to do here. He says, be patient. Maybe I need to say that again. Be patient. Therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient from now until the Lord returns. Be patient. See how the farmer waits for precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And while you're patient, check out verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. Can you say that word, steadfast? We consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and he is merciful. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we want to engage this text with this thought in our minds, particularly when you're in that place where you don't know what to do. Let me give you some helpful holy hints from the Bible. Here it is. When you feel like you don't know what to do, watch, wait, and pray. You mind repeating that for me? Watch, wait, and pray. Yeah, we're challenged here to realize that God is always at work. God does not stop working in our lives. And he wants us to be aware of his activity in our lives, not just when we first came to him, Shannon, but each and every day that we live, God is at work in your life. He's at work to grow us in godliness, that we might reflect a relationship with him. So, Father, as we engage your word, We humbly present ourselves as living sacrifices before you, asking that you mold us the way you'd want to mold us, that you shape us the way we could best reflect to you, that you continue to challenge us to grow in a way we never become complacent, get to a place where we're stagnant in our growth, but may we grow further and further in our relationship with you. And may that be reflected in our relationship with each other. So help us as we strive to watch you at work. Help us as we are patient, and help us as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Ray Pritchett, in his book, He's God and You're Not, he writes a story about a young man who would throw parties. He'd throw parties for the neighborhood. He'd throw parties for his friends. And he'd call them the Count It All Joy parties. If you've been with us in this series, you know the first chapter of James. And what James admonishes us as believers, Anthony, to do is to count it all joy when we find ourselves, King James, going into diverse temptations. Right? Knowing that our trials work in us something that God wants to bring through us. That same word again, patience, endurance. He would throw these parties. And as he would throw these parties, people would ask him, what are we celebrating? Is it your birthday? Is it the anniversary? What are we celebrating? He said, no, this is a count it all joy party. So what does that mean? He said, well, actually, I'm in a hard place right now. I'm really struggling right now, so I threw this party to celebrate in expectation of what God is going to do at the end of this. I hope you caught that. Because he's calling us, he's reminding us in the text that as a believer, someone who has given their heart to Jesus Christ, someone who is committed to living under the lordship of Christ, a believer, not just a reader, a believer. Not just an attender, he's speaking to believers. And he says, as believers, we are to live our lives patient, being patient with God. Now I know most of you in here. I don't know all who are connecting at home. But I know most of you in here. And you could tell me if I'm right or wrong, but can we agree that we all need to grow in the area of patience? You don't want to agree? Okay, kids, would you agree that your parents need to grow? He says that we ought to be patient as we're going through adversity. Because the context around the text is that the believers in the diaspora that James is initially writing to have felt hardship within and without. They've been going through, they've been struggling, and not just their own personal struggles, but there were people, forces, systems upon them that was oppressing them. The believers were under an oppressive system that was taking advantage of them. Sometimes he called them the wicked wealthy that would take advantage of the people of God. And in this system of oppression, of adversity, they had to still be believers. Maybe that didn't catch you just yet. Have you ever struggled to live like a believer? I'm going to talk to some real people here. In today's world, with some of the crazy coworkers, I'm not supposed to say it like that. Some of the special people you work with. Have you ever struggled to maintain your testimony of a believer? Have you ever been there where there was adversity, not just outside the house, not just outside the community, not just on the news, but when you got home, it looked like adversity was living with you? Don't look at anybody. And you had to strive to be a believer that is like, God, when are you going to do something about this? When are you going to do something about the injustices and the unrest? When are you going to do something about this? When are you going to do something about the apathy? God, when are you going to move? Am I the only one that got that kind of prayer life? James reminds us that we ought to take care to exercise patience with God. I'm working for a moment. He teaches us that when we are patient in how we live, it's similar to that of a farmer who plants in anticipation to receive a harvest. And if you know anything about horticultural, or you have a flower bed, or if you planted anything at all in your life, not replant. I'm not talking about a replant. I'm not talking about when you go to that place where people buy plants and stuff, and you plant a plant. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you have a seed, and you've cultivated the soil, and you took the time to put the work in to cultivate the soil to plant the seed. Anybody know anything about planting? Okay, I want to make sure I'm scratching where you're itching. I'm a whole generation apart. I'm coming back and get you on in a little bit, all right? That it takes some work on the front end before you can anticipate anything on the back end. I hope you get this. It takes some activity on your part to be able to reap a harvest from God when it's in God's timing. It takes us putting in the work. This is not instantaneous. And so what he says to believers is, as you live life and you're putting in the work, you're studying the word of God, you're worshiping God, you're striving to live godly, look what he says. He says, don't give up on God, but rather exercise the patience of a farmer. That when he's done the work, he's planted the seed, he's got his hands dirty, because sometimes becoming godly is some dirty work. It's you got to fight with you and struggle with you in order to grow in godliness. And God is working on you. And he says, now, when you've done that, don't lose patience. Let me help you. What happened the last time you lost patience with God? Did it change anything? No, you didn't catch me here. When was the last time you wanted to hurry God up? Did that work for you? All right, let me go ahead and make it a little more practical for you. See, we come from an old school generation. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. Old school generation, not new school, old school. Old school generation where timeout was the break they took when they were taking time to discipline you. Old school. I know you'll catch a little bit of old school generation. As we were trying to parent, modeling the generation that came before us, we thought we were gonna die, but we didn't die. So thank God we didn't die, and it worked for us. It ought to work for. It'll work for them too. And I learned something as I watched Kiana, my wife. She would exercise a certain kind of demeanor that I didn't quickly get. I have to admit. I'm generally the disciplinarian, but in this area, she had this stuff down. When the kids would become impatient with her, wanting something from her, the more they asked, the further away they were from getting that request. You got to see it. To the degree that now they know that you only ask once, and then you just wait. I'm trying to help you understand something here. God is calling us to understand that he's working on us as he's growing us in relationship with him, that as we make it through adversity, as we adverse through our circumstances, advance through our circumstances, as we advance through adversity, he wants us to have a disposition to do it patiently. So he brings up Job and he says, look at the prophet Job. You know anything about Job? Job had a chapter one experience that would rival any of your bad days. Have you ever had a bad day? When you woke up and you start feeling parts in your body that you didn't even know were there? You ever had a bad day? Where you go outside and it's raining and you feel like it's personally against you. Have you ever had a bad day? when you're in traffic and people act like they never knew how to drive. Have you had a bad day? And then you got to go by that coworker we talked about before, just a little while ago, and deal with them. And then you have to have nobody. Have you ever had a bad day? Job's bad day in chapter 1 would rival any bad day you ever thought you had. In one day, he loses his wealth. He loses his possessions. In the same day, servant after servant, email after email, DM after DM is coming to him, and it's all bad news. To the degree that he loses the people that he loves, his children, and he says in chapter 1, here's his response. He didn't say, God, why is this happening to me? God, I don't understand this. No, the Bible says he arose from where he was. He tore his robe. He shaved his head. He fell on his face, and he worshiped. Look at what he said. Naked I came in this world, naked I shall return. The Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. King James, blessed be the name of the Lord. And God tells us that as we grow in patience, that we ought to look to Job, because if you have a Job chapter 1 experience in your life, if you continue to trust God, that's really what patience is. Nisha, you know, we trust God at every moment. It don't look like things are good, doesn't look like it's going to work out, but you know what, God? You gave me this child, you created this child, I'm going to trust you with this child. It don't look like it's going to work out, I don't know what's going to happen next, but God, you gave me this job, I know you gave me this job, so I'm going to trust you with this job. God, it don't look like something's going to come out of this. I don't know why to all the families you put me in, but you put me in this family, so I guess you're going to do something with this family since you gave me to this family. Hear me well, it's trusting him at every step. And as you trust him at every step, you go from chapter 1, may not be too good in chapter 1. Job chapter 2, it may not be too good. Job chapter 3, and you keep on living chapter after chapter, season after season, eventually you'll get to chapter 42. And in chapter 42 is when you see what God was working on in the backstage of your life, now coming to the front stage. You see now that God was at work, and the Bible declares that God blessed Job with more in his latter days than he had before he went through the trouble. I love it. God gives you double for your trouble because he has a purpose for his children. So whatever your adversity is right now, don't miss this. God has a purpose for it. Well, whatever your struggle is right now, God has a purpose for it. And he wants you to advance through it. I need to hurry on here, because as you advance through it, you advance through it with the disposition, the equipment that God has given us to make it through it, and that's through prayer. Please don't miss this, that if we're going to develop patience, you're going to need to pray. If we're going to develop patience with God and with others, we're going to need to learn how to pray. Cultivate the discipline of talking to God. Cultivate the discipline of speaking to God, and Kevin, not just speaking to him, but putting ourselves in position that we can hear him speak to us. That's really what prayer is. And so he moves on in his writings. After he challenges us to be patient, he turns our attention to be prayerful, that we advance through adversity prayerfully. Look with me in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. So he says, is anyone cheerful? Then you pray in song. He says, you sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Do you see it here? And the Lord will raise him up. And if he commits sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. We got to work here. Because I can tell you, you will not achieve godliness. You will not be able to exercise patience if you do not exercise prayer. And prayer is coming before the Lord in all authenticity and saying, God, I need you to put in me the will that you have for my life to be done. You remember? You remember, don't you? When they asked the Lord to teach them to pray, he said, in the model prayer, he said, let your will be done on earth as it is done in, this is prayer. It's accessing the heart of God. And in accessing the heart of God is allowing our hearts to be open for what God's will, God's way, and God's word is telling us to do. So he starts with, if you're suffering. He's not sick here. He's suffering. That you are no oppression. You feel a weight coming upon you. He says that you ought to pray. That you ought to connect with God. That I want to encourage you that you ought to schedule some prayer time. You know, we schedule a whole lot of things in life that are important to us. Let me encourage you to schedule prayer time. To not be a haphazard. Some of us, we're so disciplined, you schedule your hair appointments days in advance. Okay, some of y'all months in advance. Some of y'all, you used to schedule a hair appointment, and now. But you have that discipline. You schedule, your life is ran on a schedule. But hear me, if you want to really grow, if you want to make it through adversity, if you want to live a life that God wants to use, that as he delivers you, he's leading you to help others be delivered, then you must increase your prayer life. Schedule your time to be with God and pray. If you're suffering, he says, pray. Hold on. He says, then if you know someone who is suffering, someone who is sick, that we have a holy responsibility to pray for them too. Here it could be translated two ways. The elders could be those of the presbyteros, those of the leadership of the church. They can go and they can lay hands and they can anoint with oil that was used in this time as medicinal purposes. That can happen, and they lay hands and God would move, because God moves at the prayer of faith that says God would raise them up. But it also means then those who are mature in the Lord, that you know the Lord, the Holy Spirit is within you, and when God shows you someone who is ill, someone who is sick, that you too have access to the heart of God and you could pray for them as well. Perhaps it's time out for us to stop. It's time for us to stop being commentators on what happens in society and start being prayers. But perhaps it's time for us to respond, particularly in the social media sphere, with not our opinion, but what would happen if we'd flooded with our prayers? That we would pray for what we see, that God would exercise forgiveness as he's done in our own lives, that God would exercise mercy as he's done in our own lives. What if we prayed for God to really heal the land? He's calling us to advance through our adversity prayerfully. And then he says, you know, the effectual. I learned it in King James. Here it is in ESV. He says, well, I can't run past this. Verse 16 is going to be a little hard for you. He says, therefore, confess your sins one to another. Don't scratch that out of the Bible. Don't do that. It's there for a reason. He talks to believers. He says, if you really want to grow in godliness, then you want to connect with somebody who also wants to see you grow in godliness. And that somebody is your accountability partner who is there to encourage you to grow in godliness, not to gossip your business, but to help you, be an aid to you to grow in godliness. And look what he says, and they will pray for one another. I hope you get this. God never intended for us to grow in isolation of him or others. We need each other. We need each other to care enough about each other that we want to see each other grow. I want you to grow in your relationship with God so that God can use you. And as you're growing and you're advancing through adversity, as I hurry on, he closes this writing by pointing us to another prophet. He shows us the importance of prayer so much so that he repeats it all through the letter. And he says to the believers that we ought to pray, and he points out Elijah. This is why you ought to read, you want to be a student of the Word of God. This is why you want to study the Word of God. Because the Word of God will show you how to do what God is expecting you to do through those who lived before us, who have gone before us. He brings out Elijah, and he says about Elijah that Elijah was a man of prayer. Same nature as you and I. He was a human being, but a man of prayer. So much so that when he prayed to God, get this, he knows God personally, he knows God intimately. intimately, and he prays to God, and his prayer request seems to come with no response. Here's 1 Kings 18 chapter. He's on Mount Carmel. He's praying to God, but he sees no evidence that God is responding to his prayer. Have you ever been there? Then he continues to pray to God. The Bible records that he tells his servant, his companion, to go look, and he says it seven times, which tells us he didn't stop praying. He didn't stop communing with God. He didn't stop expecting God to show up. And here's the end of the story. And God showed up. It was a cloud about the size of a man's hand. You know how small that is? But he saw that enough as a sign to know that God was at work. Here, I want to challenge you. Whatever you've been praying about, God is working on it. And you got to be able to see even the little sign to know that, you know what, God, I see you working. And I'll participate in what you're doing. And saints, you know what? If you can't, stand all over the building. Because I want to encourage you in this moment, right now, that we become more prayerful. That we come before the Lord honestly in prayer. There's so many we know who are sick. There's so many we know who are suffering. There's so many we know who have yet to know him, who God wants to lead us, that he could use us to help others who've wandered away from him know him. But y'all, we got to become a people of prayer. You remember he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Your house that you're in, you dedicate that to the Lord and let it become a house of prayer. And as music is beginning to be played, I really want to encourage you right now to begin to pray. Whatever you're going through, would you, even as family units, would you just group with your family right now and begin to pray? Grab a hold of your loved one and pray over them. He says, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails. It connects to the heart of God. It connects to the power of God. And God moves. Lift up that person in your life that you know God led you to and that you need to pray for. Don't give up on them. Pray for them. Pray for that lost child. Pray for that grandson. Pray for your neighbor. Come on, saints of God, let's pray. The reason our nation is in the turmoil it's in is because there's not enough prayers. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, from heaven I would forgive their sins and I would heal their land. Come on, y'all, let's pray. Pray that a soul will fill every seat that you see around you. Pray that God would use us to reach the lost community. Pray. Father, we come before you in the presence of your might, humbling ourselves to you as you continue to challenge us to grow and to know how you want to use us. Help our eyes be attentive that we're able to watch your activity and participate in it, that we learn to wait on you and move in the way you want us to move. And that we stay connected to you, that our ears are attentive, our hearts are receptive. We become a people of prayer, not just on Sunday, not just in suffering, not just in sickness, but every single moment we long to speak with you. Please use us that others might know you. Know that there's a Savior who cares. His name is Jesus Christ, and he loves us. He's died for us. He's our living Savior, And he welcomes us to talk, to commune, to speak with him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.